You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. On a hump day, August 20th, we're going to get you over the hump. Hang with John. That's what we always do. We're going to work for you. Now, we might not be working as hard as the University of Memphis, which had a big announcement this morning. We know. Got denied by the Big 12. They ain't stopping. One monkey don't stop no show. That's what a wise Memphis man once told me growing up. And Memphis is moving on. And they're showing, symbolically, that they're moving on. Big announcement today in terms of their partnership with FedEx that we will get to. Really just announced. Memphis just dropped that here as we get set to start the show. A lot more to talk about, including NFL, including Grizzlies. NFL last night, I will say, John, before I hand off this ball to you, brother, I can't wait. You're going to go for over 100 today. The Buffalo Bills continue to put something in my meal during Hard Knocks each week. Maybe it's HBO that's doing it. Some of that tryptophan that John tells me each year is not what's actually putting me to sleep in the turkey. It's not actually what does it. Every time we bring this up, John brings up the scientific fact that it's not really that that's putting you to sleep. Whatever it is, Hard Knocks, Bills, I was gone by the 8 o'clock hour, if you can believe it. And as John told us, it surprised us all, he likes to get 10. How can you get 10 as an adult?
Right.
I got 10 last night because right after Hard Knocks, I was out like a light. Out like a light.
That boring,
I feel fresh. The entire time. They keep trying to make this team interesting.
Right.
It is not.
It is not. I also think Hard Knocks as an event has run its course.
What you talking about? We're on 30. It's yeah. Like Freddy Krueger. Exactly. It's like the Jason.
Exactly.
You got to put that thing to bed.
I think that's
kill
exactly
it.
Right. Well, and they can just justify it by we're doing in season only now.
Well, and then I think I heard Jeffrey Wright talking about this. Didn't the NFL Films guy talk about how the one with the Giants, the front office one, had killed it forever?
Yes, because they showed the call of Saquon.
We said that real time, y'all. We said this is so good, we're never going to see it again.
Yep. Yep.
And that's going to be the case. Kill it.
Yep.
Last night put me to sleep. I was waiting on Bears. You know, we had a joint.
Then
we
yeah.
But apparently, they showed last week's preseason. Unless I was watching last
week. Yeah, behind.
Yeah.
So you got to wait till next week to see the Bears.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm already asleep.
I know. Yeah, it's, you know.
Wake up.
You can watch The Kingdom if you're interested in that.
I saw part of it. They go down in the bowels and see the artifacts.
I thought The Kingdom, from what I watched, I caught like maybe 20 or 30 minutes. I enjoyed it.
Fake emotion from Andy.
They showed the game, y'all. They showed the Bears game, and they showed the preseason in scrimmage before the game last week, the weekend.
So I'm watching last week's. At 7, they show last week's,
and then 8
o'clock,
the
new ones come on.
They showed the ass kicking.
So you fell asleep.
I watched last week's. I watched the first preseason game.
And the scrimmage.
And the new
and the one
you fell asleep for. That's
yeah, so they showed the Bears scrimmage over the weekend in Arlington, and then they showed the ass kicking the Bears gave them.
What grade would you give?
I love it because you just fire up the music and I'm in because there's nothing else. My thing about getting rid of it is there's nothing else on, you know.
Yeah, there is.
What is it?
WNBA.
Don't you know? Haven't you gotten the memo?
I don't watch the WNBA.
Did you hear us say that in unison? That's how strong it is.
I've literally never watched a full WNBA game.
We did
say
that.
White and black together.
That's right.
Did you just feel that wave that hit you in the face?
Maybe when Nashville gets one,
I'll
have a
team.
Yes, we said it together in unison.
You both
said WNBA.
Wow.
We had the same time.
Who knew?
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Aces and
get involved, bro. Oh. Get involved.
Aces and Dream last
night. I got no interest in watching that.
You know, Chicago, we just can't quite get over. We can't get off the mat.
That's right.
No, franchise since drafting Angel and Cardoso.
That's exactly right. Watched the Aces Dream game last night.
Proud of you. I know why you watched it.
Aces down 10 with 6 minutes to go.
Bro, you have friends losing hundreds of thousands on WNBA. I'm listening.
Hey, so that's crazy.
Hey, we don't want to say no names.
We're not going to say no names.
Because that's what you said. We don't want to say no names. This dude, what? And you talking about Hard Knocks, the only thing on. You got to be kidding me. We got big stuff riding on WNBA around
here. Hey, compare the numbers of those two shows and you get back to me.
I'm glued in. I don't know about y'all. That break refreshed me.
No, as I always tell people,
picking up everything.
Ratings are very flawed. I tell people that all the time, you know?
People who are losing say that.
Well, I've been losing for a while. I got to say. That's what I just tell people, that the meter system here is very flawed.
We're doing okay.
Real quick, while I got y'all together, moment of silence and happy heavenly birthday to the great Isaac Hayes. Born in Covington, died in Memphis. Black Moses.
Yes. Love it. All right, lots to get to today on the show. We'll have that full breakdown for you, Aces Dream, in just a little bit. You mentioned it, Memphis getting busy. Further embedding themselves with FedEx and a reimagined new deal. That was the news of the day today. We'll talk about that. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 11:25. We'll get his thoughts on this. See if Memphis basketball is going to bring back the forbidden fruit that was the FedEx jerseys that they tried to roll out in like 08.
The purple things.
You know what? So that's the Mandela effect.
No, they weren't purple.
They're orange primarily. With purple trim.
Come on, man. We're not Tennessee.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't want any orange as the primary.
If they would have flipped that, I would have been like totally on board with it. But
there were no purple as primary. You're right. I've just misremembered that.
Yeah.
No purple.
I did too.
Phoenix Suns looking
That's
stuff
exactly
is the way
right.
I would have thought it would look.
Yeah, this is how it looks. This is the only picture that I've seen. It's very like old time Phoenix.
It looks like ball calls to me.
It's like Amari Stoudemire jersey. So, yeah, that got ixnayed back then. They tried to roll them out, but it never happened. And maybe they can do it now, though, in this new landscape. Maybe they can have FedEx night. Anyway, part of the pod guy is going to join us at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. I know he's very busy. I know he's very busy in his sort of, I don't know, new role. Is that fair to say? As part of this Tennessee Collegiate Academy?
Certainly. Everyone's got new roles involved.
Yeah.
And, it continues to be a mystery what we can pull out of him about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And much like the negotiations between Memphis and the Grizzlies, the way Sam Hardiman put it in his reporting.
Buddy.
Delicate.
I know.
This.
I'm not enjoying that whole situation.
Behind the Tennessee Collegiate Academy. Delicate. So you have to, you never know. You know, it's tough to get folks to talk on the record. We tried to do it for you last week.
Yeah. Every day
of, like Liam Neeson.
That passes on that subject, I guess get more and more skittish.
Good luck.
I'm starting to get extremely nervous.
We were in Fort Knox, I think, last week, for what we didn't realize. Good luck getting on the inside. I look forward to your reporting.
You know how, like, sometimes, like, you know, your parents ground you, right? And they tell
remember
you.
Remember those days?
You know, I'll decide when you're ungrounded. You don't know, like.
They left it open-ended.
You don't know what things that you can accomplish or achieve to become ungrounded. It's just up to them when that time happens.
They didn't give you conditions up front?
Well, that's what it feels like the Grizzlies are doing to us.
I see what you're saying.
And I don't like it.
You don't have a choice. You're going to take it.
It's whatever happens is. I know they, and that's the thing. They're going to tell me it is in my control, but it's really not.
Two words for you. Suge Knight.
You saying that Memphis is on death row?
That's how we're operating, and we'll get what we want. We don't even have to talk about it.
I do think it's a mystery as to what I know conceptually we can say the Grizzlies want X, Y, and Z, but it's like.
I heard it today. I really did. I heard
can
it.
Can we strategize and come up with like some benchmarks, right? Like if the homicide rate drops 15%, if attendance increases, we need some benchmarks that we can hit here, man. Because it's like leaving it up and ending it up into interpretation. It's like,
so much I want to say.
It does feel nebulous, doesn't it?
It just feels like I don't really know what we can do here. Our cards are kind of on the table. You know, they got the $550 million for him, and it doesn't seem like it's sufficing.
Need more.
And it may not be a monetary thing. Like, it's more like a...
it's, are you going to grow?
Are you going
to
grow?
We're trying to help you. Again, I have to say it, I'm on Grizz's side in this.
Well, in the end, I'm on their side. If you really want to help, sign the lease.
Give us... I've already said this. Give them Beal. Now I'm willing to give me more because I heard it.
Damn, it's like Putin.
Give him MLGW.
It's like Ukraine negotiation.
Yeah.
Give him the MLGW building as well.
I mean, what do you got to lose?
I'm joking, but I'm not, because it's like we talked about with Jessica Vincia. It's going to take a whole, they want that neighborhood not just cleaned up, but reimagined.
Well,
That's good for Memphis.
I will say this.
And MLGW sitting there doesn't need to be. That's more, as Sam Hardman, that's prime real estate. And so whether it's, you know, incorporating that, a new Beal, a newly rebranded Beal, it has to happen, guys. It hasn't changed in decades. And that's not good for growth. And that's what you want if you were the Grizzlies. You want growth. You don't want, in the end, attendance is going to be based on winning, Ja Morant, all that. But you want attractions around it as much as you can have to where it's not just solely based on whether or not you got to, hey, you can have a good experience down there, good dinner, nice and safe, maybe hit a club, whatever else, like your folks used to do in the old days coming out of there, nice and safe, even if it's a 41-win team. That's what they want. We should want that as Memphians for that area. Mm. John, I'm talking about it. I mean, I'm 40-something years old.
Yep.
And it's been a long time since going down there was the attraction. Now, okay, go to the Orpheum. I'm going to have a dinner, right? But in terms of making that part of the plan, man, hidden Beal like we used to, even during Tigers days, man, 152 plush. I mean, we ain't so far removed from that when folks were descending upon Beal. My point is, you want it safer than even back then, but we have to get to that. We have to what I think they want. They want us to say, yes, let's do that. We'll do it in conjunction with and sort of in the spirit of keeping them. But it's going to be best for we need that as a city, guys. Yeah. We need it for ourselves too.
Right.
I think that's where that's where you have to come to grips with. We need an updating of things down there. Let's be real.
Oh, I agree with that totally. Like I
understand where you're coming from, though, that, yeah. Oh, man, you keep this open-ended. Like, what else? What more do you want? All of that, when you say neighborhood, you know, we're interested in investing. Mm-hmm. Here's us. What are y'all investing in our neighborhood, all of us together? You want as much of that as you can get.
Yeah, but, you know.
That was probably always the case.
I will say that even Zelensky from Ukraine is willing to concede as long as he gets some security guarantees. So, as long as y'all get me some guarantees, we can talk about some territory.
It'd be a different story if you had $1 billion to give them for a new arena. We don't.
That's right.
We're not Oklahoma City, which, oh, by the way, is a larger market now. It's both. But higher valuation, larger market. We used to be like 33. We've dropped down to low 40s. Some have us at 50. You know, Oklahoma City, not much greater in market, 45, 46, just Brad would know. But they are. They've grown. We've dropped off.
God, that's terrible.
Back in the day, apparently, in the 80s, Jackson was included with us. That has since changed. So we've gone from 30-something to, you know, low 40s, 50. Thought I saw us as high as 46 still, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So it's both. But yeah. Don't let that depress you.
It has. It absolutely has.
Just give them MLGW. Give them the building. Slide it over.
Yes.
Well, as I was telling John, we'll turn it into... You know, a Ferris wheel. We'll make it an attraction. Well, my point is, reimagine all of that area.
Yeah.
We do need some updates, guys. Whether they're going to, you know, whether they're here for the next 20, the next 15, whatever else, we're going to need something else down there. It's been the same for decades.
Right.
We can't continue to let that area be the same because it's died out. It's a freaking desert on most nights.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want to be down there on most nights, especially in the off season.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And, you know, I saw some arguments while we're on the subject. Like, we'll get to Memphis. We'll have Parth in here. But I saw, because GP had a segment about it, right? He talked about it yesterday on his show. But it's not really about what he said. It spawned this whole side conversation about downtown Memphis. And a lot of younger people, including some listeners to this show, my guy, Grizz Fan Ant, he was basically saying that it's not about crime that keeps me away from downtown. It's that other than sporting events, there's nothing for me to do.
It continues to be a big part of what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's not
a destination.
There have to be other attractions.
Yeah.
It can't be the same old Beal that we've had for the last 40 years. Frankly, it's gone down since, I mean, they closed down Plush Club. 152 ain't popping. 152, by the way, used to have level of folks packed in there. Folks, I mean, line around the bill. But my point was, there was something folks went downtown for. Now it's, okay, if Grizzlies are good, let's go.
Right. And then that's
it. And a lot of the blame, to your point, and I think what you're touching on with what Gary hit, is, oh, well, crime. Right, that's the first thing people bring up, but I think it's a lot more of that. What else is there down there to do? You know, what else am I hitting? Take away a successful Grizzlies team. Dinner down there. No, I'll probably do better somewhere else. And or I'll just do it at the game, whatever else.
Yeah.
So we've needed that for a long time as a city.
Right.
And it's only been when we've had those visions, guys. If you've grown up here, you know this. It's only been when we've thought outside the box. Whether it was AutoZone Park or finally, okay, we're going to build FedEx Forum and we got the pyramid sitting there. And folks are saying, well, what the hell are y'all doing? But it was when we went with that new vision that new things happened and downtown came alive again. And that's the only way it's going to happen here. I feel like the Grizzlies are trying to nudge us there without going public and saying, man, if these folks don't get their stuff together, we'll move. You know, because you do see teams operate that way, you know, especially with the fact that they're not getting a brand new stadium as most teams professional are getting these days. They're getting renovations on what they've had since the early 2000s.
Right, which, again, overdue in this very rapidly changing environment.
So sort of to address where you started, I think, bring us back home. I get what you're saying. There has to be you have to tell us, okay, this. It's kind of like we talked about with Jennifer Carstensen. Here's what you need to get done to get the home on the market.
Exactly.
Like, give us the list.
Exactly.
So we can knock this out for you because you see the intents there.
Yeah, because, like, you gave us, you did give Memphis, we want X, Y, Z in terms of finances. They came and got that. They went and got that from the state.
Took care of business.
Okay, so now what?
Hotel, motel, all this stuff. We've taken care of that. It's that neighborhood. And Sam said
which
that,
like,
and that's what's left. He literally answered the question
in
his reporting.
But in many ways, it feels like the
it's
most
unending,
impossible.
It's,
yeah, exactly.
It's, right.
If it was impossible.
I don't think it is. I think it's just a couple more things that got to get worked out down there.
I do think it makes the job easier when the Grizzlies commit, though. I mean, I do think the revitalization, like, can it happen without that?
Shouldn't even the long-standing Beale Street powers, the folks right that were there pre-Grizz, shouldn't they want a sort of coming together, you know, because, again, it's in their best interest. Rebranding whatever it is, I know what they don't want to be is just pushed out. You can't, whatever. There's some long-standing control there. But they should want a sort of revitalization, whether it's just signage, whether it's everything down there, just improved, brought up to date, cobblestones and all. Just so they should want that and should be on board with that. So some kind of way you got to get all that together. The momentum feels like it's there.
Yep.
I think Grizzlies have handled this about as well, having all the leverage, all of it, because they can leave and be worth $1 billion more no matter where they go.
Yep.
I think they've handled this about as well as because they're trying to hold our hand and say, come on, man, we're going to stay here as long as we can. We're not promising you the future. You ain't giving us $1 billion a new but we're but y'all need to fix yourselves up.
Right.
And we need to.
No, I agree with that.
That's kind of where I'm at. It can be, never ending.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what Para's asking for. I don't think it's what Wexler's, when he does the tours down there around certain spots.
I think this is the kind of conversations that happen when the negotiations are sort of so clandestine. You know, it just kind of leaves everything up to complete speculation. Like, we don't know what they want. You know, is this, how do they, you know.
Again.
I think it would do a lot of good to come out and talk about it publicly on some level, other than just, you know, a timeline that doesn't come to fruition. I understand it is sensitive. Like, it is a business, you know, and you don't want to play, you don't want to tell people.
Oh, you'll have to be shot straight, I guess.
But I think that would help. I think, like, hey, you know, we continue to be in negotiation with the city of Memphis and look forward to while we firm up some commitments. You know, I don't think that would be a terrible thing for the city to hear, but it's not my business and it's not my job. So we shall see. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's in the forefront now, you know, it's in the forefront of every discussion and it's not going to go away. You know, with every season that comes and goes and there's no lease, it's just going to become more and more of an issue.
Yeah. We got till 29. It'll be done long before then. That's it just hard. Won't be 25 years, as you've continued to say.
Yeah.
And I agree with.
I mean, I hope it is. I hope they, you know. Even
if it's 25, there'll be all kind of loopholes. I mean, every single. Right?
If it's that long. I would take that. I'd take a 25-year.
Give me 20 with less loopholes. Give me 15 with, you know, maybe
Right.
A few more. I don't know.
I don't know. I just don't want.
There's a balance.
I don't want there to be this thought that like the next lease, if and when it gets done, is the last though. You know, I don't want it to be like this is the, you know, then they're gone for sure. It kind of feels like that.
I know there's levels. I don't think they're asking the world. I do think we have to grow as a city to try to with the thought we're not entitled to this. Like I said, Big 12 presidents are telling you Memphis ain't changed a bit. You know what I'm saying? In terms of the market, whatever else, how have they changed? We vetted y'all in 2019, whatever it was, 2020. We did this. Y'all ain't changed a lick.
That's right.
That's how they look at you. And so when you're the lowest, you know, in terms of valuation, you got the least. You could move, you could go 200 miles away, you'd be a billion more. That's just to Nashville. Imagine what this is in Vegas or Seattle for him.
Absolutely.
He's fifth richest owner. He's shown you that by not taking this public and not saying Memphis got to do this, where I think, John, you don't want him coming out and saying this stuff that we couldn't hit, that he's giving you a chance to get this worked out.
Yep.
You know, behind the scenes. I think it's closer than we, you know. Paul was saying you missed the mark on the summer, still think you can get this handled, and it clearly has to do with the neighborhood. A few more concessions, hopefully it's over. You push the deal over the line. Give them MLGW, move McGowan and them out to Cordova. We'll finish this thing up. That's the way it is. Just put me and John in the negotiations. We'll get this thing finished up. Yeah, that's prime real estate, and we'll give it to the Grizzlies. I don't care. I'll give it to them.
Because two things.
Give them the building.
I'm not wearing a suit to these negotiations like Zelensky, and I demand a checklist of things that we can hit so that we can satisfy our obligations. But don't sit there and tell me, you know, we'll advise.
But you'll give them the MLGW building? If we put that down,
yeah.
You're checking it off. Because we can move a gallon in them
they
out
can,
to
they
anywhere.
Can, they can run MLGW for all I care. So although I will say my bills this summer have been unbelievable.
We're paying. Now, that's on your other boy. Because we're paying for that.
No, it's been great. All my MLGW bills this summer have been under 400.
Dude, they need to come do a story on you because everybody else's is exploding. What are you talking about? They're doing stories on Fox about everybody's bill being too high,
no.
How we can't afford this,
no.
And we're paying for XAI up in here.
No.
Not John, apparently. Is that Brad's looking? He's looking the other way. Apparently, Germantown's getting some kind of rebate, y'all.
$350.
Thank you. I'm in that 300.
Mine's only $350.
$350 is
low.
Amazing.
No, it's amazing. I've been hauling on the air. No, at 70. I don't keep it above or below. It's around 70 degrees in my house. Yeah, $350.
Yeah, my most recent was 392.
Yeah, I have a 3,000 square foot house too.
Yeah, same. And that's
3,000. I'm not. You're 3,000. Mm-hmm. I'm 2,200. That figures less than y'all. Back to the point here.
But it's a beautiful home, though.
That back to the point.
Sweet. I don't. Need
I say
back.
No, you have an amazing
clear.
Home.
Last month, I paid 375. I said this too high. I cut it up while I'm gone now to 82, both upstairs and downstairs.
Right.
I saved 17% in electricity bill.
There you go.
Okay, the past month, it dropped me $50.
But everybody in your house suffered.
Yes, they did. Wife looking at me upside my head. Because, again, when we're getting home from work, it's still a thick 82 downstairs. Okay? Hasn't been on as much. I'm saving, but only 17%.
Yeah.
Going up to extreme.
It doesn't feel worth it, does it?
Not, I'm getting the heat back on the side of my face from my wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Extra.
I feel you.
I don't think it's worth it.
Well, I think we know.
That's my boy. They've been gouging me. I'm looking at Doug. I think we're paying the XAI. Somebody, well, us in Cordova, we're paying for Elon.
Yeah, something's going on. Because, again, like you said, you know, you're two-thirds the size, but you're paying the same amount.
Thank you.
That is the problem. That's the
issue. So they're fleecing us in the dirty Dover.
You're paying more than Brad.
Y'all got a good deal in Germantown, I see.
Yeah, I mean, we have pretty decent insulation.
And one of my systems, almost brand new. So it's not about that.
Yeah.
Someone said, your insulation's messed up.
Right.
We're fine over there. We're running efficiently. We're just getting gouged. Yep.
You got to get somebody out there, man.
We got to get to Parth.
Parth's going to join us on the other side.
He can help me maybe pay the bill.
We'll talk to him about this brand new NIL deal for the University of Memphis and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was a Parth request, so I do want to just put this exclusively at his feet. This may be the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life.
You never heard this?
No.
Versus Troop 41.
This is solid.
No.
Remember, you know, John Wall, the dance slide, John.
Look, you and Brad can have a little listening party of whatever this is, all right?
How have you not heard? You're a college basketball guy. How have you not heard of this?
John Wall played in college basketball for 3 days, all right?
He was 15
years ago.
He was electric.
He was fun. He should have come to Memphis.
Raleigh's finest,
man. Also, I don't hold that time very dearly because, again, that was – do you realize that he was supposed to be here?
I
do. And DeMarcus Cousins?
I do. Yep. I do.
And that entire deal?
And Cal yanked that class and went to Lexington.
And then 15 years later, I got to hear you come on here and with a tribute to John Wall.
And, man, he retired, announced his retirement yesterday after 11 seasons in the league. And
how can we forget?
That's my Raleigh guy. You know, he's from my hometown. Look, he puts on for the 919.
So. I got to say this. Yeah. I appreciate John Wall announcing it because I would not have otherwise known.
Hey man, John Wall was really, he was a top 3 point guard for a couple of those seasons of the 11.
Oh no, bro. I think that's a stretch.
Go look at the numbers, man.
He never won. He never contributed to winning.
Who wins in D.C.?
Huh?
Has anybody won with the Wizards? No.
I mean, if he was a top 3 point guard, he would have won with the Wizards.
I don't know, man. It's the Wizards.
If you're a top 3 point guard, you're going to win.
With the Wizards?
With anybody.
I don't know about that.
With the Hornets, you're going to win if you're a top 3 point guard.
By yourself?
If you,
with Bradley Beal, that's
it. You're a top 3 point guard, you're going to lift, right? You're going to make your teammates better.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have to go back and look at that time. Maybe he was, but I felt like he was an okay NBA player, probably actually underachieved relative to what I expected from
He's
him.
He's a cultural icon, man. He has probably the greatest Ball His Life mixtape ever
made.
Right, last of that era.
Whoa!
I mean, he definitely was that guy for a minute at a high. Like, I feel like he was just the peak was high school though for him. I don't know. I don't really remember anything from his NBA career. Maybe I'm hating on him. I mean, I just don't really remember a whole lot from his NBA career. Wasn't he in Houston too?
He was in Houston.
I remember a little bit of the Houston time.
I think he's somewhere in the middle of how high Parth has him in terms of on the pedestal and then how low you look at his career. He's somewhere in the middle there. Yeah. Hopefully you guys can find some common ground.
Well, he's a five-time All-Star. I mean, you know.
That's pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
But was the number one overall pick, you know. It's not like he was the 12th overall pick. He
right.
was number
and then he
one.
Had injuries and mental health stuff. And I'm not excusing him. I'm just saying. You know,
he doesn't need to be excused. He had a good career.
He had a hell of a career.
He had a good career.
He did. Yeah.
But he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
He's maybe a North Carolina Sports Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, right. I remember I remember White Station and Joe Jackson playing him when he was at Word of God in one of those like Bass Pro events.
Really?
Yeah, there was like a clip of him on some podcast in the COVID times, and he was talking about Joe. And he was talking about how sick Joe Jackson was. Now, you were talking about a player that I care about. Joe Jackson, you know, see, that's a name that won't do much for you.
No, it resonates.
But he was, you want to talk about cultural icon, 2009 Memphis, Joe Jackson. You all right? Now let's talk about him. I sent you that Joe Jackson tribute song. Did you get that?
Yeah, where's Joe? Yeah, Joe Jackson ain't got no song, man. Come on.
We didn't have that one.
He would have. he would have.
Wall's got a song and a dance.
He does. He does. Listen.
Oh, I think I have it here. Hold on. Let me see.
All right. No jokes, man. All right.
Let's see here.
We're not going to do no jokes, all right, at the expense of Joe Jackson. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I found it. Here
that
it
is. That
is
crazy.
I'm sorry about that.
Such disrespect.
It was in my inbox, John.
That's insane. I refuse to let this Joe Jackson slander continue.
He was set
what
up
do you know?
For this. He was set up. You
what
set
the
him
hell
up
do you know? There it is in the inbox.
And how the hell did he just have this song ready? All right. Have you ever heard this song?
What is this?
Short People.
It's what?
Short People.
Short
Joe Cocker.
Oh.
It's actually a banger.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're using it against Joe
it's
Jackson.
It's a Joe Jackson yes. tribute.
Who was small.
He put it in my inbox, Parth.
All right. So, anyway.
Why is Joe Jackson catching strays?
Man,
whatever.
For real.
I know.
That was rough. That, I'm man. Sorry.
Joe,
if you're listening, I'm sorry. You're the best.
We
you're the GOAT.
You.
Let's go.
Wait, Y Station GOAT. No doubt about that. Parth the Podjai covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian and usually joins us on Fridays.
Right.
He is going to be touring FedEx on Friday, so he will not be able to join
will
us.
Will not be touring FedEx.
As part of the new NIL deal. Okay, so there was a big announcement today.
Yes.
About FedEx and sort of a reimagined part of this, you know, NIL arrangement, right? Initially, it was 5 years, $25 million. Now there's a new sponsorship agreement. I don't think we got figures as a part of this.
No, we did not. Nor did we get duration as a part of it.
We didn't get duration either.
We did not.
I assume it's unlimited. I assume it's until the end of time.
Bottomless NIL.
Exactly. Bottomless. Bottomless mimosas for Memphis basketball. We assume it would be more money too, right?
No, you would assume that, especially, you know, this is kind of a, it's not the first of its kind, but it's one of the first of its kind, right? To have a corporate sponsor logo be in your end zone and on the sideline. And it's a re-upping of that original deal, obviously, which was announced last spring, 2024, the 5-year, $25 million deal. That was a landmark partnership back then. Obviously, the price has gone up, as we've discussed, kind of all offseason, so you'd expect that this would mean significantly more money as well.
Right. I don't know. Like, I think, like, the obvious take is that, you know, this is great in the interim. For Memphis, who is not getting into a different league, you know,
for sure.
you know, you have to survive, and you know, while you're not going to get that carrot at the end of the stick, you know, you'll keep fighting. Whatever. I think I have my own opinions about things that have been said, but you'll keep fighting. You're not going to get in. So in the interim, in the meantime, before and if and when college sports ever goes into chaos again, this at least feels like, hey, this is an assurance that we're going to make sure that you're competitive in whatever atmosphere and environment you exist in.
Yeah, keeping up to speed with, you know, everyone else. Really, not everyone else, but those outside of the group of six now.
Yes.
So,
I mean, I think that's the big part here is that you have to fight to remain the top paid group of six team, right?
Yeah, and it's a tough balance, right? Because you're not a part of that exclusive group of being in the Power Four, but you've got to kind of operate as if you already are, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to find the resources to be right on par, at least with the middle of the pack when it comes to the power teams, power conference teams. And just hope that when the next shift happens, whether it be 2030 or 2031, that, you know, it's finally your turn if you're Memphis.
It is FedEx Forum the basketball team plays in, but I've just got to admit, will we see, do you think, I wonder, we don't have the particulars, but a same increased level of presence, I wonder, around Tigers basketball. We know that part of that.
Like a jersey patch or something?
Yeah.
That
I mean,
smart,
you're
right?
Already in FedEx Forum. There's already for sure. Stuff there. Uh-huh. I mean, that's obvious too, but I just wonder if it'll be increased on that side of it as well, or if, you know, like with that NIL deal that you had, I guess, what was it, $25 million over the 5 years, we know that a lot of that was going to football. I just wonder if there'll be a similar, you know, commensurate increase on the basketball side in terms of presence and visibility. I wonder.
I mean, you would hope so, obviously, just because, you know, we've
right?
talked about kind of...
That team's going to win the conference. It's going to go, you know, it's probably going to win the conference tournament title every year. It's going to be just as visible on ESPN and everything else. I'd wonder, you know, why wouldn't you'd have the same level of increase there in terms of, you know, having that FedEx partnership, you know, visible.
For sure. And it's tough, right? Because the return on investment monetarily is higher with football. But in terms of which of these programs can you pour into and get like kind of immediate results, it's basketball. We've seen it happen before. We've seen Memphis be at the top of the sport, go to national title games, go to Final Four. So I think that obviously is the mm-hmm. program that you can kind of dump into and get, you know, competing for national titles immediately.
Tell us about the latest with them. If John didn't have anything else,
no,
the 6'11 kid that they've got coming in, you got a piece of, about him over at DailyMemphian.com.
Yeah, a rope, a rope.
A rope. Okay, I was wondering about that's, that's why I waited on your pronunciation, not mine. A rope, a rope.
Yeah, we had a rope yesterday.
I was able to get that figured out. It's a rope is what he told me. I spoke to him a little bit yesterday. He's coming on a visit Friday and Saturday, and obviously played at Columbia, didn't play much, played in 6 games this past season in the Ivy League, I think played 10 the season prior. He's a project, man. He's another body to this roster. He finishes out the roster. Do I expect him to crack the rotation? Probably not, unless something dramatically crazy were to happen.
Yeah.
This is a developmental piece.
Right.
But look, man, it's a 6'11 guy on a team with not a lot of those, so I think you'll take it.
Well, you know what the old Chinese proverb is, right? Give a man a rope.
What's the give a man a rope?
That's just a terrible.
You got to be careful though.
I'm really terrible.
the one we expect him to come in and be the last guy, right? After a visit, the gentleman they just added before a rope. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Thierno. I think it's Sila.
Well, you see, so it's interesting that you got the rope pronunciation who hasn't committed yet, but you have not gotten the commit's name yet.
I've not talked to
because we haven't talked directly to him.
I've not talked to Thierno.
Similarly, project in terms of development, or are we expecting more? Educate me.
I think we're expecting more. This is a guy that has played 3 years of college basketball. His numbers, let's be real, don't look good.
No,
from last year at Stephen F. Austin. He averaged 3.1 points, 2.6 boards, played less than 10 minutes a game on a pretty bad Stephen F. Austin team, right? A team that went 7-13 in the Southland, finished below 500 overall. The coach got fired. Like, everything that could have gone bad went bad, right, at Stephen F. Austin. But this is also a guy who played at UCF prior to that, was in the American Conference back in 22-23 as a freshman. Got some minutes as a freshman, and then once the Knights transitioned to the Big 12, he was a fixture on that team, played in 32 games, started 10 games in the Big 12, put up 4-4 in 15 minutes a game. Now, that UCF team wasn't a world beater by any means, but it was a respectable, team in a very, very, very difficult conference. So I'm thinking, look, man, if he's 6'11 and can put up 4-4 in the Big 12 through a 32-game sample size, that's good for at least, 6-6, 7-7 in the American?
Yeah.
And if you're Penny, that's all you really need from a backup center.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it just shows you that they're at Aldi right now, bro. I mean, they're at Aldi. They put the quarter in the shopping cart, and this is what they're getting. I mean, this is they're not shopping at Whole Foods anymore. I mean, they spent their Whole Foods money on Doug and Aaron. And
this is a good ad, though. Am I wrong? Like, I've had people try to argue.
When you say good, what do you mean?
I mean, for August... When was he added? August 18th officially? Oh, yeah, for August 18th, if you can add a Thierno Sila.
I think anybody. I mean, I
you take a Thierno Sila on August 18th.
I guess. I mean,
John is putting him in the same box as a rope, a rope.
No way, bro.
A rope and Thierno.
Now, Parf just educated me, so not same box.
All right.
A rope's right. Not. So they're two different players, right? Like,
well, no, a rope was like. A rope was it? 6'11, 145 pounds, right?
Okay.
So more physically, you know.
Never played in a against the Big 12.
Right.
To Parth's point.
Whereas this guy, Thierno Sila, is more of a forward center, right?
4-4 in the Big 12.
A rope, what's a rope. I had a conversation with him yesterday and asked him his position. And he said, he's one of those guys who kind of grew up playing guard, had a massive growth spurt late, in his high school career, and all of a sudden he's 6'11. But still is a perimeter-oriented guy.
Yeah.
Not really a big by any stretch of the imagination. Can play the four if he needs to.
Right.
But he calls himself a wing, Mm.
Yeah, my expectations for both of those gentlemen, as well as Majok, right? Majok.
We don't know what we're getting with Majok. Majok. Right.
Whoever.
Who's the center? Because Bradshaw's a four.
That's the issue. There is no center.
That's what I'm saying. Can we get out of these three? That's what I'm saying. Can we get a five out of these three
this
guys?
This is the backup five. I'm introducing you to the backup five.
Parth's trying to sell us that this is my guy. He's on the floor. He did 4-4 in the Big 12.
This guy will be a fixture
AAC
in the Memphis Tigers rotation this season.
Watch. I mean, fixture. Well, that's because Penny's going to play 12 guys. But
he's going to play 10 guys, yes, probably.
We're going to get back to that.
It's one of them, a nope, a nope. Don't worry about him.
A rope.
In this case, it's a nope, a nope.
Damn.
When it's all said and done.
My guy here from Stephen F. Austin / UCF, he's got a chance.
He went to UCF?
He went to UCF. He played, he played 32 games in the Big 12. Remember that UCF team that actually beat, I think it beat Kansas, it beat somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Big 12.
They shocked some folks that first year in the Big 12.
It's a little celebration.
4-4, man.
Four and four.
But I don't know what happened last year. How do you go from 4-4 in the Big 12 to 3-2.6?
Right, that's a...
In the freaking...
See, that's what I would focus on more on, Southland. But, you know...
It's like Brendan Lewis, he had trash around him.
He clearly did. Although, you know, damn, dude.
Stephen F. Austin coach got fired.
Somebody got to do the scoring, don't they? I mean, 10-6 at least into the Stephen F. But whatever, it's fine. I think it's low stakes stuff anyway. I mean, none of these guys are going to determine whether the Tigers have a good year or not.
No, they're not. I mean, it could determine, you know, in the American, if you're matched up against a team, which you probably won't be, with extraordinary size, like you throw a Thierno Seal out there, right?
Look, man,
you need somebody to eat up some fouls.
You're really putting your career on the line for this kid. I mean, you know.
I think he'll have to play out of necessity.
Well,
I'm not saying
because
he's a monster or a beast or whatever, but
yeah,
like you look at when it's all said and done, this team's going to have 15 guys. I think five are going to be end of bench, probably not going to play, right?
So let me.
And then 10 guys will be in that rotation.
Yeah. I think this kid's got a chance to play. Yeah.
Let me throw something at you here.
Rebounder.
Because, again, I think these are bargain. And this is just the way it's August anyway. There's not that many players available. So even if there was a great player out there, you know, I think it'd be tough. And there's not. But Ed Scott was on with Gary Parrish today on Grass City Media because he's out there at the football facility.
Yeah.
And Ed Scott, who has not talked a lot, right? I mean, he just has not. It's been a while since he come on this station. It's been a while since you've talked to him. He made a comment that was quite interesting, and I want to just run it by you. I don't know if you've seen it, but the quote was, basketball pays our bills, but football's got to be our future.
Heard that, saw that.
If you're Penny Hardaway, how does that make you feel? I mean, knowing that you pay the bills, right, but football is the priority. I mean, that's basically what that is saying, that you are the reason why we can exist, yet we care more about this.
I think it's just the way of the world, right, in college athletics. Like, football is across the board, unless you're, like, obviously Gonzaga or whatever. Like, football is the vehicle that's going to get you into the power conference. And once you're in that group, right, like that power four group, like, everybody benefits, everybody eats, but you got to get there, you know? And I think that's what Ed Scott's saying. It's not a diss to the basketball program, or it's not a diss.
Diss is the wrong word,
but it is a
sort of vocalized deprioritization of a thing that has kept this athletic department afloat for its entire existence. And even if it is correct, even if we can all fundamentally agree that football is the way through, I think you got to be a little more delicate than that, man. I think you got to be a little bit more political than, yay, basketball pays our bills, but we're going to focus on football. Like, it's a sensitive time, man, especially when football is underperforming relative
to the resources invested. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're trying to square this with people, and, you know, me reading that, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. I'm not going to lie to you, Jason. Maybe it shouldn't, but it does.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, again, and you've had coaches on who have told you the story, the football coaches who felt for a long time that they were getting the short end of the stick to basketball, obviously. And we knew that's this athletic department's history. It's been the case. And now we're seeing the first of what might be the short end of the stick going to basketball. Because remember, having basketball as the front porch hasn't gotten you out.
Right.
Now, where I think I differ from Parth a little bit is that we know it's not just about football.
It's not
right?
just about that.
It is. It does drive it more than basketball, though. That is clear. But that's where Parth's right. I mean, it just does, and it's something we're going to have to come to grips with, those of us who haven't or whatever else. It's just the case. It's not what's going to get us there, though. You know what I mean? Like an AAC winning football team is not that. Then the Big 12 president doesn't all of a sudden say, "Oh yeah, now
they
we won 11
games last year."
It's going to take a lot more than that.
A playoff berth,
and it's going to, frankly, it's going to take years of that. Probably, maybe you can get a few in these next 4 to 5,
right,
before the whole thing blows up. That's all you got to bank on.
Yep,
but. This is that, John. It's the flipping of it. And for years, the football coaches have tasted the other end of this.
Yeah.
But you see, I think you saw it in that Fred Smith deal, the first one, the 25-5, where the majority's going to football, that this reality was sort of where they're headed. Ed Scott just watched last year Penny have a nationally ranked team I keep going back to the number, but I do think it's telling. It's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
6,500 actual butts right. and seats. Parth right. wrote all about it.
I mean, that is true.
And that feels like, man, well, that's not even our building. We're giving them nationally ranked.
Right.
We were a 5 seed. We've got 6,500 in.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've got this $200-something million going on in renovations at a building we now control. Ryan Silverfield, we feel like, I'm saying this is them.
This is
he's
them,
right
yeah.
there
yeah.
because of the level of investment. This is where our higher ceiling is. And so
well, okay.
in the quote is all of that.
Perfect. If that's the way it is, then you need to start treating football like that.
Where you're right, I think, and I know because I know who you, I know some of the, I know the relationships that you have. You still have some boosters and some money folks that I don't think have quite come around yet, much like you're, like where you're at,
yep.
that you still got to work on, you know?
Yep.
So saying this, I think can rub some of your own the wrong way.
Yeah.
That said, do you have time? Do you have time to sit and, I mean, we see how desperate he is at
yeah,
this point
yeah, yeah,
with the
yeah,
offer
yeah.
they put out to the Big 12.
Yeah.
And said how embarrassing that was to have that put sort of push back in our face now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not there.
But it's the reality. That's
I'm
what
not there. I mean, that's
you're not there because the people you talk to, some of those folks aren't there, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those folks say this will never work. They tried
right.
to sell us this 20 years ago
right.
that we had to go football and we didn't want to do it.
That's
and,
right.
and they don't believe still.
Yep.
And so, but that's
like,
where we're at now.
Like, and
it hasn't gotten you there.
And I do recognize that as it relates to this discussion in 2020, like I am a dinosaur in that way. Like I value college basketball more. That's
oh,
not,
so do I personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up on Tar Heel basketball. Like,
and especially yeah. Memphis, where like you have to share money. Like you don't get the full 20 and a half. Even with this FedEx, I don't think they're going to be there. Even though they told the Big 12 they're going to be there. I think that was, you know, a little liquid courage, right? I don't think they're fully going to be there. So it matters more to a place like Memphis when you kind of deprioritize and flip, because it does truly mean that a program is going to go without. I mean, or at least more without than they ever have.
You have to get creative. I mean, we saw it with Penny in this roster.
Like. Yeah, and so, I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Ask around. You ask national people about Memphis. I mean, look at the roster. It's incomplete. It's missing things. And
but look at what they're saying about the football roster. Everybody
right.
that you ask that
knows
says that
they get everybody.
That's the best roster in the AAC.
That's right.
They should
that's
be
right.
winning. That's what they're saying about that's the right. level of investment
no.
on that. Folks
and,
are seeing
exactly.
it now.
And so, look, I'm cool with this. I'm cool with this if you treat Memphis football
that's right.
with that urgency.
I could not be more with you, more so, you know,
but,
in our
but,
8 years.
But Ryan Silverfield gets an extension if he wins 9 games.
That's not Ed's contract.
It's not.
I'm just saying.
That's previous
administration. But where I'm
stuff,
with
yeah.
you is, all right, you're going to sell
so
this
out of
as
it.
Now. You better
get
hold
out
it,
of it.
Hold it up. You better be
yes.
holding him up to conference title or bust standards.
That's facts.
If you're
you know?
If you're selling this now that it's
like, and it does. Like, it makes me feel some type of way that, like, all, the money is being shifted, right, to a coach who has never even appeared in a conference championship game.
You've done this, and you make it you put faces on
not,
it and make
I'm
it personal.
No,
I don't know
I'm
that
not,
this is fair, man.
I'm not sure.
I hear where you're going, though. I know it's fair. I
but
get
it's
what
like,
you're saying.
If you're going
to
take money from somebody,
change.
You know?
No, I get it. You can sell it. It does. It you can make it about Penny and his success, what he's at. Also, you didn't make the second weekend. Also, I could spin it that way.
Well, I mean,
that was a breakthrough season last year, though. The timing's... horrendous
it
for this
was,
shift to happen.
But we didn't. But I'm
right
saying the thing about
that's
Silverfield,
what
didn't cash all,
you
we
did.
Didn't cash all the way in with
yes.
the 5 seed. I mean, we didn't cash all the way in.
Well,
the way,
I think both,
the way that you needed
both
to.
Cases could certainly be made. I would agree with that,
dude. I'm going to tell you, Ryan's ahead of. Penny's ahead of Ryan in terms
right.
of winning and doing what he's supposed to be doing.
I just, if
I'm
it,
with
if,
you
if,
there.
If it was fair and equal, right, and it was equitable, I would have no problem with it. But it just feels like one is being. It's like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
But what got game day here?
That was Memphis football. But college game day has come here. It's been a while, but it has come here.
But we were buzzing.
Yeah. No, it was
in
it
a
was
way
amazing.
We had not.
It was amazing.
You can get that again.
I mean,
you
think so?
You can be best
maybe.
Thing outside the power structure, and they're always going to make a stop for one of those guys.
You think it
and
will happen
what,
under the current
That's what
regime.
You should be.
For which game?
Oh, now,
Navy?
Now you go into a whole other discussion. We got to
well, no,
have do I think this guy's going to do it? That's a whole other discussion between me. I'm praying for him this year that he does it so we can get him up out of here and go find the next one.
Jeez.
I mean, if you had to.
That's the healthiest future for Memphis football is getting Ryan Silverfield up out of here.
But like, look,
getting one, getting
right.
him in one, winning one,
right.
and finding the next guy that we know can do it and keep it going like you had with Fuente and with Norvell.
Because well, we're sitting in here with Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian, who was a proud Tar Heel alum. Bill Belichick got all the money, but it didn't mean Hubert didn't either. He got all the money too.
No, because that's North Carolina. That's
I'm,
not going to fly.
I'm just saying,
yeah,
like, I don't,
man,
like nobody
sure.
has a problem there because everybody gets what they want.
And at Memphis, you have to ration. And usually it has been Memphis football that's been forced to ration.
100%.
And that's been deserved because they haven't really ever done anything, right?
For sure.
And now it's Memphis basketball who's being asked to ration, and they're coming off the year. They're coming off.
But the higher ceilings with Memphis football.
Higher ceiling in terms of return on investment, maybe, but yes. In terms of just winning on a national level, it's basketball, right? Like football's,
I don't know.
Probably never going to win a national title. Basketball could.
How much more do you think a Sweet 16, one of them, does in terms of attendance down there? You think all of a sudden you got 18,000 again? No way. You'd have to make a
Sweet 16,
then Elite 8.
You kind of build on that, right?
I don't think it has been a long time.
This is where I'm at on that. I'm with you. If you made a Final Four or something, okay, that's huge. I don't know that we can pay that bill anymore. That's the thing about the basketball side of things with NIL, these rosters that with the Floridas and everybody else that John's telling me, you're going to be 20-plus million on some of these. We can't pay that bill anymore.
That is true.
Now you're a true Cinderella because you're working on 5 million. You know that better than anybody, Barth. Just thinking, if that's where you're going to operate, then no, I don't think you're making that kind of run. Whereas if I'm just winning the AAC, I'm at least in the running with Boise State to be in a college football playoff. And we're just being in it creates a huge
payday,
amount of momentum.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Payday, all of that stuff.
But you have to get there, right?
You got to get the coach that has a good enough defense, that gets a couple more stops against UTSA and Navy, and is there, perhaps. Again, Boise State beat you out last year.
Right.
But you do that every year like you're supposed to, like we ask of Penny Hardaway, and you're right there in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting discussion because I do think that making the Sweet 16 in college basketball would actually mean less than making the Final 16 in college football.
It's just true.
Like, it just...
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, it is. But I do think,
goes back to what you said, football runs the roof.
If you could be there, if you could, like, just sort of guarantee Memphis's presence in that thing every single year, I do think it would have... And I'm talking about the college football playoff. It would have very meaningful impact, right? It would
massive.
Have, you know, but you can't. So we keep talking about these theoretical trajectories and what could be.
How come you can't when you have the most every year? It's what Boise State and Tulane are doing. It's why they get the benefit of the doubt every year. How come we can't be? It's so long as you got the right coach.
Well, that mean again, like they haven't ever even made the. But you're right. I mean, they have all of the institutional
now it's
advantages
time to cash it. You know? Have it on where you don't have it on the basketball side to compete nationally.
That is 100% true.
It's a little bit different.
So,
in terms
so for all the people who say we talk about Memphis basketball and football differently and we treat them differently, you're exactly right. We're actually going to need to start holding Memphis football to a higher standard than Memphis basketball.
That's what I'm trying to get people.
And that's what people don't want to hear.
They're
not ready for that.
Even one of their own, I think. We got to bring Gabe. I mean, I think sometimes he thinks we're too critical.
That's right.
When all I'm saying is we're trying to move those expectation level up.
Memphis football enjoys far more institutional advantages in 2025 than Memphis basketball does.
For sure. I mean, that's
I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say that. But they do. They have more money. They have more access. They have more juice. They just do. Now it's time to start acting like that and walking around like that because I hear all this talk, but then everybody...
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.